You know, the Bible talks about promotion comes from on high. And whenever God promotes somebody, or a ministry, whatever it would be, the level of responsibility increases. And the level of accountability increases as well. And what that means is, especially for a church, that when God begins moving people, I mean moving that local fellowship to another level, that His expectations are at that next level as well. And you know, in the Old Testament, when God was talking about, He said, these people worship Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. He didn't mean 100% of the people, but enough of them. Enough of them. And you know, one of the slickest tricks that Satan has pulled on the body of Christ, and that is to get Christians, generally speaking, to accept a level of complacency in their own life and to believe that there's really not that great of a need to press deeper into God. And we have been trained to look at ourselves through the eyes of the world as opposed to looking at ourselves through the eyes of God. And this was not the way it was in the early church. If you go back and you read in the book of Acts, you'll see a whole different image presented as far as the church is concerned. And they saw themselves as having responsibilities not just unto God, but also to each other in what God was doing in the church. But the majority of Christians today don't see that. And they see their responsibility as being to attend kind of whenever they feel like it. And even those who attend every time the doors are open, that does not mean that they're fulfilling what God's called them to do. The greatest way to fulfill what God's called you to do is to spend time in His presence to find out what it is He wants you to do. And that's really where it begins. And I've had people contact me who are, you know, they're actually in ministry, but they're not sure what to do. You know, you're not ready yet. It's because you haven't been diligent about well-doing. And as things progress, God has expectations. And relative to this location, this particular part of the body of Christ, those expectations that He has are growing. And all I can say, or all I will say about that is, you know, we as a church need to be open-hearted and open-minded to what He's doing. One of the things that I have to I have to push it away from me, or it really will irritate me. And I mean irritate me. It's getting around Christians who just do not see themselves the way they need to see themselves. It really, the opportunity is there for me to get quite upset when I hear Christians saying things like, I can't, or I don't know, or I won't, or I'm not able. Or they talk down about themselves. Let me tell you something. God does not talk down about you. And you are insulting your Savior when you start talking about can't. Because Scripture says you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. And so, I guess one of the greatest challenges for the body of Christ is to accept and embrace how God sees each of us. God, how do you see me? If you listen to your husband or your wife or your kids or your boss or your neighbors or whatever, there's a really good chance that they're not going to do a whole lot to help you out and to build you up in your walk with Christ. And I'm not saying that's the case for each person. I'm just saying there's a chance it could be that way. And we all know that to be true. You have to stop listening to people, and you have to stop listening to the self-image that's been created for you by people over the years. You've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That means you have value. And not only that, but according to the Word of God, you have a call upon your life. And what you do with that is totally up to you. It's not up to God, because the Bible tells us He has already made available to us everything that we need to be equipped for the fulfillment of that call. Everything. Now, we know Satan will come against us. But what I'm saying is this. Those of you that are here, I think every one of you have seen the vision statement that I put up on the screen and talked about it like 3 or 4 times over the years now. And those of you that have been here for a while, you have seen some of those things come to pass right before your very eyes. Now, if those things have come to pass, what about everything else up there? What about all these other things that we've talked about, that I've shared with you? Is it possible they're going to come to pass? And maybe not 100% of everything that was listed up there as far as what we can do. But what if just 50% more that has not yet come to pass comes to pass? Are you ready? You say, well, I don't know. Then you've just answered a question. The answer should be, I am doing what I can to be ready. Because if you don't think God wants to use you, you're wrong. Every person that God has directed through the doors of this church to be a part of this ministry, it is God's intention to use them some way, somehow. Because we are part of the body of Christ. We just happen to be at this location. So I want to encourage you to shake off the dust of I can't, and I'm not, and I'm too old, and I'm too this, and I'm too that. Shake that off, man. And embrace the potential that Christ has placed in you. It's absolutely incredible. All I can tell you is, I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you open your Bible to Luke chapter 6. I'm praying and I see this passage and I'm reading it. And in this chapter, Luke chapter 6, look here in verse 46. And this really kind of goes along with what I was just sharing a moment ago. Didn't even realize it until now. But Jesus is speaking and He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He said, well, what kind of things has He said? Well, if you look in the Word of God, you'll find all kinds of things that He has said. The things about praying in the Spirit, the things about worship. He said, well, I've looked at all the red letters here and I can't find all that about praying in tongues and worship and confession and fasting. Well, it's in there. It's in there. All of that is in there. Just some people don't see it for what it is. And that kind of fits into what we're going to be talking about here. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now look here in verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Well, what's interesting is that he He says this, verses 46 through 49 at the end of all this teaching. But I want you to see something in here. In verse 47, he says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth and doeth." Then in verse 49, he says, "But he that heareth and doeth not." Now, what's this telling us? It tells us here that those who hear and do, and those who hear and do not, were all together and heard. See this? Because you don't have the option to do not if you don't know what it is you're supposed to do. So the do's and the don'ts were, let me just kind of simplify it like this. The do's and the don'ts were all in the same service. And they all heard the same sermon. They heard the same teaching, the same scriptures, all of it. They all heard it. Some of them did what he said. Others did not. Notice what he says about the ones who do what he says. He says, verse 48, "They're like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock." Now, a lot of people have taught that the rock is Jesus. Well, I understand rock of our salvation, so on and so forth. That's not what he's saying here. The rock represents his sayings. When you hear and do, then it's like building your foundation, the foundation of your house, on a rock. The rock represents his sayings. Said differently, the rock represents the word. Now, he says to do this, you have to dig deep. And as I'm reading this, it was really interesting how that the Lord began to, I don't know, I guess you could say like a visionette. It was like he was saying, how can I put this? We look at our Bible. And our Bible has, paper here, and printed on the paper are words. Okay? He said, when you have this piece of paper and these words on the paper, he said, that represents the surface into which you're supposed to dig. And when he was saying that, it was amazing. It was like he took me from looking down at the piece of paper with the words on it. It's like he took me inside it, and suddenly it was like I was underneath the words. I hope this makes sense. And I'm underneath the words on the piece of paper, and I'm looking up, and I'm seeing this person read. But the only thing this person was doing was just reading the words on the piece of paper. And I'm down underneath, and I'm representing, it was like I'm the rock, I'm the mysteries, I'm the hidden treasures of the word, if you will, and so forth. And I'm under there, and I'm looking up, and I'm seeing all the words, from my perspective, the words, like backwards. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm underneath it, and I'm looking up, and I'm seeing all the words. And this person is just reading, and it's like I'm down there saying, hey, but I'm down here. I'm down here. You need to go beyond those words. You need to come down here with me. You need to find me. I'm down here. I'm what you really need. And someone might say, well, what are you talking about here? I mean, if you read this, that's all you need. No, it's not. You say, well, how do you know? Jesus just said so. Dig deep. Dig deep. And as the Lord is showing this to me, he said, this is in that category of major problems in the body of Christ. Because you can take all the body of Christ, and they're all going to say that they read their Bible, even if they only do it on Sundays when the pastor says, open to chapter such and such. Even the ones who read it every day. The majority of Christians, they just read, but they don't dig. And this is how you get so messed up on all your doctrine. This is how you get so messed up in your understanding of Scripture. You know, I shared before how that, you know, you folks don't get the emails that I get, and you shouldn't. I get emails from people all over the world. I don't understand this, and I don't understand that. And most of the emails that I get are from people who are exposed to the teachings. You know how I tell you, don't just take my word for it. Pray in the Spirit, follow along, take notes, follow along here in Scripture and so forth. When people, I told you before, you just listen to people, and through their questions and what they say, they'll tell you exactly where they are. And so when people that I know have heard certain things start asking questions about stuff, it tells me, all you do, you're reading the words. I mean, thank God, at least you're doing that much, you know? But you're not digging in here. Now, if you don't do this, all right, look here. He says, why call me Lord and don't do the things I say? Why? Okay, Jesus, that's going to change. Give me something. Say something. Come on. He says, all right, here. Listen to me. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man that builds a house, digs deep, lays the foundation on the rock. When the storm comes in, the house is going to stand. It can't be shaken. It's founded upon the rock. Praise God, Jesus, that's wonderful. And he just looks at you. You say, well, yeah, Jesus, that's great. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And he just looks at you. And you know how when people just stare, you start feeling a little uncomfortable? Well, what is it, Jesus? He said, you don't get it, do you? He said, what don't I get, Jesus? This is one of my sayings. Dig deep. If you don't dig deep, you're not doing my sayings. So in other words, if digging deep is the first saying that he gives us, and we don't dig deep, then how in the world can we have a foundation established on the rock? When a storm of adversity hits, no, don't anybody raise your hand, but when the storm of adversity hit your life, how many of you felt like, my life is crumbling at my feet? What did he say? Right here. If you don't dig deep and you're not established on the rock with your foundation, when the storm arises, when the adversity comes, down it goes. Notice he didn't say, you can't rebuild. My life is in shatters. It's in tatters. It's messed up. Okay. Well, what went wrong with Martin? You didn't dig deep. It says so. He says if you dig deep and put the foundation on the rock, then when the storm comes, you won't fall apart. Oh, I just wish that was true. It is true. It's here in the Word. And you guys, you've probably been around and heard people say things like, oh, I just wish that was true. Well, it is true. It's right here. You saying I don't read my Bible? You can read your Bible all you want, but if you're not digging deep, then you're not establishing a foundation on the rock. Say, well, Brother Martin, you know, can you give me an example? Yeah, I can give you an example. We're in Luke chapter 6, are we not? Now, this is a simple example. This isn't a super dig deep example, okay? This is just maybe digging down a few inches under the surface, all right? We started in verse 46. Just back up a little bit to verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. How many times have we heard that in offerings? And there's no denying it's here. And you just read it for what it is. Praise God. Okay, I give in this, I give, and it shall be given to me. Glory to God. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men are going to give into my bosom. Oh, that's great. I like this. And who wouldn't? I mean, who wouldn't like the idea that if all you do is, you know, slap a little money here in the offering plate, that God's going to, you know, climb down off of His throne and just, you know, whip people into a frenzy until they come running to your doorstep and giving you money, giving into your bosom. It's like, praise God. My name is Freddie and my wallet is ready. Hallelujah. Bring it on. My name is Jimmy and I'll take all you give me. My name is Kyle and I want a pile. Come on, God. Where are these people? And so we raise all kinds of money in offerings through this verse. The problem is, verse 38, now think of it this way. Verse 38 is 38 verses deep into this chapter. See what I'm saying? Because when you back up to like verse 27, he says, I say unto you, which hear, better put, I say unto you, which pay attention to me, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. I don't want to do that, Jesus. Whoever hears my sayings and does them not. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Oh, but Jesus, our president. Oh, Jesus. Let me tell you something about our president. You better watch out what you say. We had a prophecy that came out, I don't remember when it was. And in this prophecy, the Lord said that one of the reasons so many bad things happened in the Bill Clinton presidency was because Christians kept speaking and confessing bad things. They kept speaking curses into that presidency. And I'm telling you right now, the same thing is happening with our current president. And it's worse than what it was in the Clinton presidency. And I'm telling you, listen to me. Listen to me, all of you out there. The body of Christ. Now listen to this. There are those in the body of Christ, not 100%, but there are those in the body of Christ who are speaking the very curses that they're standing against. And I'm telling you right now, bad stuff that's happened has happened in part because the Christians have confessed it into existence in this country. Look what he's doing. Look what he's doing to this country. Look at what he is. See this? Christians say that. And I've heard it. I heard it last week. And I'm telling you, you better watch what you say. When you start talking like that, look, some people, there are so many Christians whacked out. They're going to hear me say this. Well, you understand? You just don't. No, the problem is this. I understand what God's Word has to say. You cannot pray for your president the way God instructs and speak these kinds of curses as well. You can't. You cannot love with the love of Christ and speak these things at the same time. You can't do it. And when, I mean, right in here, he says, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Love your enemies and all. And there are people that, in the body of Christ, that are speaking horribly about our president. Look, this is not a matter of agree or disagree with what he does or doesn't do. It's a matter of applying a biblical principle. And what did Jesus say? Do my sayings. See? So, yeah, we may not like what's going on, but we better guard our mouth against this. Because if we don't, we're in violation of the very things he says in here. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that takes away your cloak, forbid not to take your coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. But with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I mean, in the context here, he's talking about us ministering the grace of God to the people that need it. He's not talking about a church offering. You cannot use Luke 6:38 for a church offering. It's impossible because it doesn't apply. And the problem is, you've got Christians all over the world that would hear me say that and they'd say, well, he's crazy. He's a heretic. He doesn't know the Word of God. Why, I sat here and watched Christian TV all day long. And for 12 hours straight, every preacher that's come on has said, Luke 6, give and it'll be given. Well, what's that tell you about those preachers? They're not digging into the Word of God. They may be great people and they love Jesus and so forth, but in this situation, they just haven't been digging enough into the Word of God, because when you do, you can't come up with that doctrine. And this is just one example. Remember when over in Isaiah 28, where God talked about, you know, how does He teach people? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Well, think of it like this. How does God teach people? Shovelful upon shovelful. As you dig into it, as you dig into the Word, you will never come to a complete understanding of what the Word of God says unless you dig deep like Jesus is telling us here. You say, well, I don't know. I always believed that there were some things of the Word of God that, you know, you'd never understand until you get to heaven. Well, see, that right there says you haven't been digging. You've just been kind of brushing the sand aside or something, because the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for our doctrine and correction, reproof and instruction, and so on and so forth. All Scripture. So therefore, if all Scripture is profitable for me, I have to be able to understand its profit. I have to be able to come to the place of grasping and comprehending. Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the Word of God. So there has to be a way to do this, and absolutely there is. And so Jesus says, look, I want you to dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock. Dig deep. In other words, you can have the Bible, you can read the words, and you can, now listen, have the words memorized, but still have no clue what's the message. What's this all about? Brother Martin, I don't understand Luke 6:38. Well, get this sermon. We break it down briefly. And it's amazing how many times people will ask me questions, and when I try to get them to get back into the Word, they don't want to do it. Well, then there's no foundation. Because if you're not digging deep, you can't lay your foundation on the rock. So you have to dig deep into Scripture. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We might come back to Luke 6, I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and look here in verse 1. It says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. See that? Now, he's a steward of the mysteries. And notice he says, let a man so account of us. That's plural. That means this isn't just for Paul. Okay? Now, if I apply myself to the Word of God, I can come to the place of being a steward. Now, that doesn't mean that I come to the place of being called to the ministry of teacher. It just means I come to the place of being a steward of the mysteries. In other words, I come to the place of understanding what's in here. Put another way, it means I'm digging deeply and I'm laying my foundation on the rock. If I do this, then no matter what comes my way, I will not be blown off my foundation, if you will. Because even the fellow that built the house on the sand with no foundation, he thought he had a foundation that would see him through the storm. Because if he did not believe, I mean, if he had come to the place of being absolutely, totally convinced that this house that I'm getting ready to build, if I don't dig 30 feet deep or 10 feet or whatever it is, and put a good foundation here, first storm that comes along, it's blowing me over. If he truly had believed that, he would have been digging deeper to lay a deeper foundation. But the guy didn't believe that. He thought what he had laid was deep enough. And he thought he was ready to handle anything. It's the way it is in the body of Christ. We think we're ready to handle anything. I don't know about you, but in my own life. You know, I wasn't super Christian, okay? But I've been raised in church, and I knew quite a bit about the Word of God. And then, when I rededicated my life to the Lord, I felt like that I had a pretty good foundation. Because I had been raised in a church that stressed, read your Bible. And so I felt like, you know, I'm ready to go. Not ready to preach. I just felt like that I was, you know, firm and so on and so forth. And I knew that I, you know, still had some more to learn. I mean, I wasn't arrogant about it, at least not in that respect. But I felt like I was, you know, pretty stable. Well, as I began to listen to these new preachers, I began to hear things about faith I'd never heard before. And some of the things I heard about faith shook my faith. Shook my foundations. And I'm listening and I'm thinking, man, I never heard this before. And these faith teachers, they let me borrow their shovel, if you will, to dig deeper into faith teaching. And I'm seeing things in Scripture that I had never uncovered before. Oh, they'd been there the whole time. But I had never dug them out before. And these guys were teaching me how to dig to understand faith. And I, man, I'm telling you, it was hard at times. Because I had to face up to the fact that I'd been wrong about many things. You know, I was raised to believe that once you're born again, it's impossible to walk away from Jesus. And then as I began to study Scriptures, I realized there were some things in Scripture we never really read when I was growing up. Because we weren't too comfortable with the way it sounded. I'm thinking, my goodness, this has been in here the whole time. And maybe I've read it, maybe I didn't. But one thing for sure, it's making an impact now. So the point I'm trying to make is this. I wasn't like some guy that came in off the street, didn't know anything. I was raised in church. I had what I thought was a sure foundation. But I realized that it only went, you know, like 6 inches deep. I mean, it wasn't as stable as what I thought. And so I had to start digging. And start digging. Well, what I found out was this. When you start digging, and you're serious about digging, you begin to find things buried that you didn't know were buried. And I began to discover things about healing that I never knew. I mean, the words were in Scripture. The words were there. But I never knew what was underneath the words. I began to see things about, well, prosperity that I didn't know. And I began to find out that some of these verses that had been used for, well, like Luke 6:38, but some of these verses that had been used to teach prosperity, as I would dig, I began to find out something different is underneath those verses than what I was told they meant. I began to dig around and I began to see things about the gifts of the Spirit. I began to see things about the ministry callings. I began to, you know, I keep digging and digging and digging and I'm finding, you know, stuff about praying in tongues. And I mean, on and on it goes. And it trust me, it hasn't stopped. And I'm beginning to realize, man, I wasn't messed up. But I didn't have the foundation I thought. And it's kind of like, you know, God sits back and He says, well, I've been waiting. I've been waiting for you to get to this point to dig deep and to lay your foundation. You know, one of the reasons why Christians get in heated debates with each other about what they believe? It's because neither one of them has dug deep enough to be established on a foundation. Because when you know that you know, and when you realize that this person you're talking with, I mean, they haven't dug at all. All they've done, they read the words, and that's it, man. They just, you know, quote scripture and so forth, but they don't know the message. And you know the message, and you know what's in there. You realize it's pointless to stand there and talk to them. That's why, you know, like I've shared before, what the Lord showed me is that you don't debate, you don't argue, because they already believe they're right and believe you're wrong. He said, what you do is you ask questions. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people that I have taught this to don't do it. No matter how many times I give the example, ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. Let them back themselves into a corner and come to the conclusion that either one, they want to get mad and walk away, or two, they don't know enough about what they're saying. Just ask questions. Jesus says, dig deeply. Paul says, we are to be ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. You can't steward what you don't know. Flat out. You just can't do it. And in chapter 2, he kind of explains this. He says, howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Now let me just kind of paraphrase this for the sake of this teaching. We speak wisdom among the body of Christ, yet not the wisdom of Christian religion, nor of the preachers of religion that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, or we speak the wisdom of God that's contained in a mystery. How many of you have ever watched like a mystery TV show? Well, you don't turn it off 5 minutes after it started and walk away thinking you know who did it. You know what I'm saying? You have to sit for 2 hours. Actually, you sit through about an hour and 15 minutes of movie and 45 minutes of commercials. In other words, you have to dig deep into this movie to figure out who done it. And endure the commercials along the way. Well, likewise, we speak the wisdom of God that was hidden in a mystery. He says, this hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In other words, God ordained before the foundation of the world that we should have or come to the place of having the understanding of these mysteries. The mystery of Luke 6:38. What does it mean? The mystery of Romans chapter 8. The mystery of Romans chapter 7. So many people teach that Romans chapter 7 is a Christian struggling with sin, and it's not. But unless you keep digging and digging and digging, you never come to that understanding. And what's so sad is when you stand and you teach these things, there are some people, it's like, figuratively speaking, you know, as you're teaching these things, it's like you're handing them a shovel and they take it and they throw it. Because they're convinced they're right. You know, don't dig into the Word and show me anything. I'm right and I know it. Yeah, but you took verse 38 out of context. Hey, I know what that... Read it, Brother Martin. It says, give and it'll be given unto you. Says it right there. It says it. Yeah, but relative to what? Let's dig through this and come to the understanding. So he says, this mystery that God had ordained for us to come to the place of understanding. And he says here in verse 12, that we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. In other words, this born again spirit, this new nature, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom or religion's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, this is the one thing. If you will fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He'll be your digging partner. He will help you dig through Scripture to come to the place of understanding these things. He says in verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, it's amazing, but we've actually lost, not a whole lot, but a few students from the Bible college over the years, because they adamantly, and when I say adamantly, believe me, adamantly, and some over exceedingly abundantly, adamantly, refuse to get into the Word of God. I mean, they absolutely refuse to get into it. And in the Bible college, the teaching is very line upon line, precept upon precept. It's very, you know, verse by verse and so on and so forth. And they still just absolutely will not get into the Word. They won't. Well, nothing you can do but pray for them. But the thing is, they don't have a foundation. They think they do. Well, he says, look, these things are spiritually discerned. He says, we have the Spirit which is of God, which enables us to know the things that are given to us of God. And the Holy Ghost teaches us, and he compares spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, what I want to point out in this, well, in fact, look here in verse 16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? In other words, who's smart enough to teach the Lord? Then he turns around and he says, but we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? It means we're not smart enough to teach him, but we have the mind of Christ. We have a spiritual mind, if you will, that is capable of receiving instruction from him by virtue of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Said differently, it is impossible to dig deeply with your soul. You can't. Because if you try to understand the things of God from His Word with your soul, then you're basically doing what a lost person could do. Lost people can read the Bible. A lost person can read the Bible and come to the conclusion they need to be born again. See what I mean? Well, likewise for us, we think, I don't mean every Christian, okay? But it's like we have this idea that if we read the verse and we know what the word means, I mean, I was raised in school and I know what the word I means, and I know what the word ordained means. I know wisdom. I know what wisdom means. I passed that test. You know, divine wisdom. I could do that. World, I know what that word means. And teach, I know what, I mean, I know what these words mean. So therefore, I know the Bible. No, you don't. You know the words. But you have to dig to get the message. And the Bible talks about, you know, digging. Jesus talked about digging the pearl of great price and so on and so forth. The more we dig into the Word, the more we uncover, the more mysteries we uncover. The more we have a spiritual comprehension of the things of God. And guys, I'm telling you, there are people out there, they have figured out that they're called to be a teacher. And I won't give any names, but they are absolutely excellent in what they do. The problem is, a lot of what they teach is absolutely pure error. But they are so good at presenting it that you just sit there and listen, my goodness, this is incredible. And if half the sermon is truth and half of it's an error, the tendency is to grab a hold of the error and blend it with the truth. And we've been warned about that. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And this is why Jesus said, you have to dig deeply to lay this foundation. So what's this mean for us? Well, without the Word of God, there's nothing into which we can dig. Let me say it like this. There might be people out there that really like my teaching, but my teaching is not the Word of God. I teach the Word, but my teaching is not the Word. Does that make any sense? See what I mean? So people listening to this may think, they might, you know, oh, Brother Martin, boy, is he a good teacher. Man, I love his stuff. I listen to you all the time, iPod and everything else. Well, praise God. I'm glad it's blessing you. But you know what? This book right here, the Word, is what you need to dig into. My teachings are only to help facilitate digging. That's it. I can't change your life. But this right here, you dig deep enough, your life will change. Here's what's interesting. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Do you know if you're digging and digging and digging deeper and deeper and deeper into this, what's going to happen? Faith is going to come and you're not even going to know it's coming. But it's coming. But I didn't feel anything. Faith doesn't come by feeling. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So you keep digging, you keep digging, you keep digging. And faith is coming. It's incredible. You say, well, Brother Martin, how do I dig? How do I dig? Well, I will say this. I do have a teaching series entitled Meditation Produces Transformation. Now, in that teaching series, I explain in great detail how to dig into the Word. Very briefly, take a little book like Galatians or 1 Thessalonians. I mean, just a little, just read it over and over and over again. The fourth year of the Bible college is a verse-by-verse study of the entire book of Romans, the whole school year. And months leading up to that, what I would do is sit down and read the book of Romans. I'd pray in tongues, you know, very softly while I was reading. I would sit in the chair and I would start with chapter 1 and go all the way through, read the whole book, and wouldn't get up until I'd finished. It took about an hour. And sometimes there was this tendency to want to stop and just really dig into a verse. And I had to force myself, no, just keep reading, just stay in this flow. Just stay in this flow. And later on, I would dig into the verses. But for months, I just would start and just read the whole book, nonstop. Just read the whole thing and pray in the Spirit. And it began to open up. And I began to see things. In other words, what was happening is I was digging beyond, you know, just the ink on the paper. I was going beyond the surface comprehension of the words. And I was digging into the meaning. You say, well, did you come to the absolute, final, total conclusion, an understanding of the book of Romans? No. But I came to the place of understanding it well enough to be able to teach on it. But even then, since then, I've seen more. And I'm thinking, boy, how can I go back and add this to all? I've seen more. It's because you keep digging. Here's the one thing about it. You never run out of gold when you're digging in the Word. There's more and more. You know, in the natural, when you find a treasure chest, everything that's in that treasure chest, that's it. But with the Word of God, you cannot exhaust it. And this is one of the joys about getting into the Word like this. So you take a little book like, you know, 1 Thessalonians or Galatians or, you know, 1 Peter, whatever. Just read. James. Just read. James is really good. I mean, when you think about it, James, you know, James. What a name for a book of the Bible. Hallelujah. James. So you just read and just pray in the Spirit. Hey, there's no book of Barry now, is there? I mean, I guess you could try and write one. I don't know. But I think there's a warning about that. So, you know, you just keep reading and you pray in the Spirit. Well, how, if it's a little book like James, I mean, that only takes about, you know, 10 minutes. How long should I read? Well, just, I don't know. Read it 3 times a day. Or read it, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times a day throughout the day. Pray in the Spirit while you do it. It doesn't take very long. And what happens is, you begin to come to the place of comprehending beyond the words. The message begins to come alive. And I'm going to tell you what will happen if you do this. Remember Jesus said, dig deep, lay the foundation. In a foundation, what they do, like for a footer, for example, for a house. You know, they dig deep and they dig what looks like a trench. And then they do one of two things. They either back up the cement truck and lay the chute down into the trench, and they begin to fill that trench with cement. So that when they're done, there's just one big, you know, block, if you will, of cement. Or
They'll get, you know, those cinder cement blocks, you know what I'm talking about? Those big old heavy things. Have like the holes in the top, from top to bottom. And they'll lay a layer of those and then put cement on top and then put another layer of cinder blocks and put more cement and then another layer and then more cement and so forth. So when they're done, all of the cinder blocks, even though the blocks are individual, all of the cinder blocks are connected with cement. So now it's like one big unit, okay? Just like with the poured cement, there's no break or interruption in the cement. It's just one big slab of cement in that trench all the way around. When you read the Word of God, you take a book, and you can say that that single individual book is like one of those cinder blocks. And you keep meditating on that. And then you do that. Let's say you take that book and you meditate. You read it, you know, a total of 50 times in 2 weeks. Little short book. Be easy to do. And then in the next 2 weeks, another short book, 50 times. And you're praying in the Spirit as you do this. And then the next 2 weeks or the next month, a bigger book and so forth. And yeah, this is going to take some time. But what happens is this. And man, this is so neat. The Holy Spirit, because remember, you're praying in tongues as you do this. The Holy Spirit begins to show you how that these books are not just individual books, but they're a part of the entire foundation. And they're unbroken. Man, you know, broke things up with chapters and so forth. And I understand that because it makes reading a whole lot easier. But the Holy Spirit will begin to connect everything. In fact, eventually what He'll do is He will begin to connect the things in the New Testament with the things in the Old Testament. And He'll begin to show you, like, you know, you've read the Old Testament. And all of a sudden, you know, here you are. It's been 6-8 months of this, what I'm describing. You're reading Galatians and then James and then, you know, Ephesians and whatever, going, just all these books. Then all of a sudden, it's almost like on the inside you see this, things in the Old Testament being represented by things in the New Testament. And I'm telling you right now, and I've said this before, how the Lord showed this to me. In the days to come, the closer we get to the return of the Lord, over the next however many years, there's going to be more and more come out about the Old Testament and its relevance to the New Testament. And in the process, a lot of things that have been preached over the years are going to be proven wrong. Now, doesn't mean everybody's going to accept it. We know that. But what this does, it begins to get us to the place of understanding that not just a mental agreement with lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. But a spiritual mind of Christ comprehension that it works. And that if somebody doesn't want to get healed, then they don't need me laying my hands on them. Because if I do, they will get healed. Now, you understand what I mean by that. We begin to walk the same kind of a walk that Jesus had. And didn't He say, if you believe, then what I've done, you'll do too. And even though our minds, our souls, will agree with that, yes, amen, I agree with that. The mind of Christ is what we have to learn how to operate by. And as we dig deep, and keep digging, and keep digging, and we get into that foundation. Lay that foundation. Established on that rock. Then no matter what kind of adversity comes, no matter what kind of a problem. You know, it talks in the Bible how that nothing's impossible with God. There was a song that we used to sing years ago. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing. Well, you know what? We get to the place where nothing's too difficult for us either. We come to the place of understanding, I can do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That means I will be able to walk this earth in the strength of Christ. And our minds is like, glory to God, that's cool. But it has to. We have to dig deep to that foundation. And when we do, we start walking in that strength. Well, it sounds like it could be time consuming. Amen. It is. It is a fight with the flesh. But Jesus has said, let me paraphrase his words. The deeper you dig, the stronger your foundation. I mean, you can stop now. Every one of us, we can stop right now. And however deep our foundation is, it's there. But the deeper we dig, the stronger the foundation. Think of it, you know, the high-rise buildings, the big skyscrapers. I've heard and I've read that the foundation for those is at least one half of the overall height of the building. In some cases, I've heard that the foundation is as deep as some of the buildings are high. Now, I don't know if that applies to every building or not, but I know this, they have to be pretty deep, especially in some of those countries that are known for earthquakes. Did you hear that they were digging this over in Japan, digging this, we're going to put up a big old skyscraper, and they had to dig a real deep foundation? They hit the Empire State Building. But that building's not coming down, hallelujah. That was good. Okay, you get a book. I better stop before this gets too deep. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. I believe what the Lord is telling me is that as a result of this message tonight, and I don't understand what all He has done in those who have heard it, but He's going to be speaking, and I don't know if this applies to everybody here or just a few, but speaking through you into somebody else's life to bring about change in their life. That's all I know. So, Father, praise God. May we be sensitive to Your voice.